I'm Anthony Bourdain, and you're listening to The Trip, the new podcast from my partners at Roads and Kingdoms. The Trip is your passport to all things weirder, deeper, further. Each episode, a different Roads and Kingdoms contributor will take you behind the scenes of a reporting trip somewhere in the world with host Nathan Thornburg from Roads and Kingdoms. Now, Kara Parks of Roads and Kingdoms talks to Nathan Thornburg about his travels to find heavy hallucinogens in the jungle. And she calls him a douchebag. Rightly so. The Trip. Get ready for the ride.
The nice thing about vomiting is it happens on both levels. You're definitely vomiting in reality, but you're vomiting in the spirit world. It just means different things. Right. One bucket, two meanings.
That's horrifying.
I can't believe I'm at work talking about this.
I can't. I actually was wondering about this. How did you first hear about ayahuasca? What kind of propelled you down there in the first place?
One of the first trips that I took when I was with Roads and Kingdoms, it was kind of a reporting trip, was down to the Amazon to report on ayahuasca tourism. And funnily enough, I was there like a couple weeks after CNN had sent a documentary crew down there. And everybody that I talked to said, oh yeah, well, CNN had been calling a couple weeks ago, and they said that they would like to do a story about ayahuasca, but they couldn't legally take ayahuasca. So a lot of the people down there were like, well, we're not going to work with you because you're just going to watch us flip out and you're going to think we're weirdos, and then you're going to go home and that's the story you're going to tell. They had a sort of a commitment test that you had to pass, like you actually had to do the ayahuasca. So one of the great, you know, liberties of working at a place with absolutely nothing to lose, like Roads and Kingdoms, is you get to take the ayahuasca. I have done psychedelics, but I had a very bad breakup with them maybe 20 years ago. I mistook like my natural body oils for blood.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Just leave it there.
Okay, it's bad. It's a bad night.
Bottom line is, I'm going down to Iquitos, and I'm bringing a lot of fear.
My name is Carlos Tanner, and I'm the program director for the Ayahuasca Foundation. I'm 35 years old, and I'm from Massachusetts.
I run into this guy, Carlos Tanner.
Don Enrique,
Carlos Tanner, I first saw his stuff online. You can find him online. He's a voluble YouTuber, which is immediately
sounds accurate.
A sign of trust.
The science of plant spirit medicine can spread throughout the world.
This YouTube video where he's talking about his own transformational experience and what led him to start this thing called the Ayahuasca Foundation down in Peru. And his testimony, his personal testimony, was that he had had all this GI distress, you know, doctors up here, Western, you know, that whole thing. The hospitals were failing him, having a rough time of it. He went down to Peru, did ayahuasca. When he was on ayahuasca, he entered his own mouth and ducked down into his stomach and found there that there was a squid blocking one of his ducts. And
that'll do it.
He wrestled the squid, freed it, returned it to the dirty water of his stomach, and that's what cured him.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that, and it's not like empirically I was like, yes, let me follow this medicine man. So I called him up and I talked to him, and I just got a feeling like this guy's okay.
So the crazy guy who wrestled a squid in his own stomach that you found on YouTube, that soothed some of your fears.
And shares with us the knowledge that he has learned through his traditional initiation into the Shipibo science of plant spirit medicine.
Then that creates now an added challenge, because you still have to go back and tell people about ayahuasca. And you have to do it in a way that people can understand, which is almost completely impossible.
And because that is sort of tough. On the one hand, someone's talking about something like this, you do want to get their experience and you want them to really like be in it and experiencing it. At the same time, that there's nothing that, you know, you kind of want to hear less about than someone's just like 3-hour trip, you know, like just 3 hours of like just getting high and like what they like, you know, them going through the shit. And like, it's just like, it's like someone like cornering you and telling you about their dreams. And you're like, great for you, but I don't need to know that. So it's like, it's hard to be able to balance that journalistic instinct toward experiential reporting and not just being kind of like this self-indulgent D-bag who's just doing drugs in the jungle, talking about it. Was that...
I feel very called out right now. So you land, small plane, short flight over incredible mountains. There's a kid, gets my bag, we throw it on the back, I get behind him, and he takes me to Don Enrique, who is a Shipibo shaman, who is Carlos's partner. There's something about Don Enrique. He's got a very calm face, very, like, doesn't move a lot. He just seems, like, placid. I believe that if Don Enrique was not who he is, Shipibo Indian, who comes from a long line of medicine men, that he would be, like, actually, like, a nurse or a doctor. He'd work in healthcare. He'd be in a hospital. Like, you know, this just, he just has that thing. You're like, he likes to take care of people. He's got a good bedside manner. The people I was going out to see in this camp he calls Inkankana, one of the things that was so incredible about the experience that I was able to have is I was not part of some kind of ayahuasca tour with people who were coming out and doing a couple ceremonies and then running back. It's like I'm part of a medical community. Like a fully legit school whose purpose is to create doctors in the ayahuasca world. I've dropped in on like a graduating class, proud young doctors ready to take their medicine out into the world, into most of the countries where it's illegal, and then run these ceremonies and bring plant medicine to people who can't otherwise make it out to the Peruvian Amazon. Then we get out and we walk. And that's where it began, on a mud path to the jungle. It was, you know, it's what the Amazon feels like the Amazon should be. Just a lot of mud, screaming insects, a bunch of leaves cutting at your face for like maybe an hour walk.
Before we kind of get into the ceremony, can you just talk about what ayahuasca is?
Let me back up and say the improbability of having discovered ayahuasca by accident due to the basic complexity of what ayahuasca is one of the things that makes me believe that ayahuasca is like a thing. That like maybe somebody had actually just dropped a little bit of an earworm and in a Shipibo a long time ago and said, take this and then mix it with that. Because it's complicated. It's like, it's the resin of the ayahuasca vine and you've got to brew it basically with the leaves of this chacruna plant. And it's that combination that has that right combination of DMT and uppers and downers and Molly and like all the stuff that makes you feel the feelings. And I always think like, man, how many of these dudes must have just died
right.
from like sucking on every jungle vine, brewing tea out of every leaf until they reached the one that was like, oh, there you are, God.
Right,
and you can wake up in the morning.
We're going to take a quick break from our story and take you on a short side trip to Manhattan's Lower East Side, presented by Tiger Beer. Restaurateur Wilson Tang reminisces about growing up at the oldest dim sum spot in Chinatown.
I remember there was always a cat in the restaurant growing up for the sole purpose of catching mice. At 3 o'clock, all these dim sum chefs would get off of work and they end up at Nam Wa in the back table and they're playing cards because that's just what they did. My name is Wilson Tang and I'm the owner of Nam Wa Tea Parlor here in Chinatown. It would always be a cigarette at the end of my uncle's mouth with the ash very long, deep, intense in these card games, which is all illegal, right? Card games are illegal, smoking in restaurants are illegal, cats in restaurants are illegal. And those memories will stick with me forever. One of the selling points of my uncle was like, hey, you know, you can kind of take over the restaurant, we can jazz it up, you know, make it modern, put in new lights. I'm like, That would be so dumb to do. I feel one of the biggest attractions is really this throwback in time. When someone leaves Nam Wa, I want them to realize that they left part of history. It is the oldest restaurant in Chinatown, and I'm proud to say that I kept this going.
That was your Tiger Beer Lower East Side Minute. Now back to the trip. Strap in.
Okay, so you're in the jungle. You've reached the camp. You're with Don Enrique.
Don Enrique is there with Wilma, his wife. They've got a lot of local workers who are around, mainly construction guys, and then there's the rat hunters. They shot the largest rat I've ever seen. This thing called a mahas, like a 30-pound rat, something like a dog-sized thing, and cooked it. Wilma cooked it with some bell peppers.
Yeah.
She brought those from Iquitos. But it was protein. One of the things I love about ayahuasca culture, and it's so directly incompatible with like kind of hippy-dippy like psychedelic culture, or, you know, a lot of people were coming there where they were on juice cleanses, or maybe they were vegetarians, they, you know, spiritualists in the North American vein. So the Shipibo are basically like, you can come and learn about ayahuasca, but you're going to do it our way. One, you got to eat meat. Like, you're going to eat some rats. Like, you are going to eat jungle meat. No question. Like, you have to eat meat. You can't be a vegetarian down there. And you have to smoke. Now, I'm a former smoker, so that is, like, amazing to me. Down there in the Amazon, your doctor is like, light up, son. Like, let me roll it for you. And it's not just any tobacco. It's like jungle gauze. It's like, they call it mapacho. It's like super dark, tarry, like intense tobacco. And they chain smoke it. And they make all of the medical students chain smoke. It's basically like the point is to envelop yourself in this smoke, which is a great protector. You know, this is spiritual warfare that's going on.
So are you in like a structure, or are you, what's kind of,
yeah, so one of the things that these gentlemen have cleared the Amazon for is to build a circular, you know, kind of yurt style structure. And that's every like ayahuasca ceremony is supposed to take place under this circular thing. And a lot of what I first see the medical students doing, I mean, the heat is outstanding. So they're not doing anything fast. They're doing a lot of like drawing. They're like painting their dreams and their ayahuasca visions, and they're painting them on the outside of this hut, this circular hut, or they're painting them on fabric cloth that they'll hang up. It's like, it's real like art camp for hallucinators, you know?
It's my worst nightmare.
So I'm on a mat in a half circle in this circular yurt with you know, with four or five of these guys, and in front of me, Don Enrique is sitting there, and I am kind of waiting for Don Enrique to say anything, but he's pretty out, like he's getting ready. In his world, he's like, he's strapping on like body armor. Like he's
passing over in a serious way.
He is going to the armory. What he actually looks like is just a middle-aged Pivo dude smoking a lot, and with his legs crossed in the center of a yurt. But the energy is focused. So one by one, he calls us up. And he has us sit like cross-legged in front of him, and he hands us the cup. Put the cup to your lips, and then all hell breaks loose, because that is some disgusting, disgusting stuff. Like the you know, there's a lot of gross stuff to run through when talking about ayahuasca, but you have to start with how this shit tastes. And like the consistency, bitter, viscous, bitter.
So it's like thick.
It's thick. It's gross. Yeah, Big Pharma hasn't had a chance to put a teaspoon of sugar in that. it's real medicine.
Did you have one of those moments right before you took it? And I feel like a lot of times when people are ingesting drugs, there's that moment right before you actually ingest it where you're like, I could not. Like, I don't gotta. Did you, because especially you were bringing in sort of this previous fear, did you have a moment where you were like,
I had nothing but those moments.
Just.
Yeah. But, you know, Don Enrique said something interesting. He said, well, if you're afraid, you just, you know, ask her. Like, ask Mother Ayahuasca, like, if you should be afraid. Just don't worry about it until you can get a chance to ask her. And I was like, well, that sounds crazy, but okay.
That's the least comforting thing I've ever heard in my life. You've taken your viscous, bitter, warmed over death drink, and then what happens?
The ayahuasca starts slow. You ramp up, and within that time, there's a lot. I think for me, my brain is working a lot quicker than the drug, so I'm already like out in front. You know, I'm already like, okay, am I crazy high? Like, so this vine comes along into my field of vision and turns into the head and shoulders of a woman, and then it kind of, but it's still like this plant woman. I'm like, mother. Mother ayahuasca. And it turns around and it's got scars on its back, you know, and I was like, man, it's like, it's Mother Ayahuasca and you know, the jungle has been hurt. Jungle is in pain.
It's deep.
And I'm looking at this and I'm like, overtaken with the absolute, like, incontrovertible reality that I have just totally made that thing up in my head. Like, I've just chosen a really stupid, like, visual metaphor for the jungle and for Mother Ayahuasca, and I've just, like, created, like, the Sesame Street version of what raping and pillaging the environment should look like.
So you're the Lorax and you're speaking for the trees at this moment. That's basically what's...
So I'm recording now. It's about 3 hours in. And the only reason why I'm recording this is because I'm pretty sure, I don't know for sure, but I think that ayahuasca would be happy for me to share the message. But this has been just like a very blissful, smooth, easy, you know, for something that does make you throw up, experience, and I'm just grateful for that. You know, I came in with a lot of fears about whether it'd be a bad trip or, you know, I'd had some experience with that, but this is something very different. And yeah, it's just beautiful. You just feel loved and you actually feel the presence of spirits and Mother Ayahuasca. I know you'll laugh when you hear this, but it's true. Maybe you have to just...
So I'm having this thought and this thought, and then all of a sudden, bam, I gotta throw up. And you throw up, and it's when you're doing it the right way, like your head clears out, and then just this light enters in. You're like, I'm all empty. I got space. And so now that we're fully into it, I'll tell you, like, after that first thing and that old vision goes away... I'm sitting there and then this light comes and it feels external. Like, that's the thing. I'm like, this is a thing I can't make. Like, I'm not doing this. And all background, you know, in my life, like, I'm complete atheist. Like, I don't believe in any of this stuff. I have deep skepticism of, like, tripping balls and learning stuff. I have to say, like, I feel like this is a very external thing that was, like, all of a sudden happened, and it's, like, this giant light, and it's all, like, there's no visual, visual metaphor. I'm not, like, painting a word picture, you know, that's fitting something. It's just, like, this overwhelming sense of just, like, emotions, like, you're, you know, whatever that externality that comes in through open doors there, like, it felt like it was the good one. It was, like, it was the good presence.
entonces no está conectado con la raza de
lobo. Don Enrique had, he had asked me to bring a question, not just about the fear, but just like generally, like, what are you trying to solve here, you know? And it's diagnostic, it's like medicinal. So I was like, well, I'm having some GI problems. He's like, all right, we'll get that checked out. But you can ask other things too, you know, like bring another question. And I had a question, which I still have. And I mean, so Mother Ayahuasca gives me an answer. That's fine. Like, I still have it. I'd like to hear it. I'll be working with this for a while. But I think as journalists, you have this thing where you get involved in people's lives, you know, and especially in news, which I did, you know, for a lot of years at time, like you're going and you're like, oh, so your son was just murdered. You know, like some terrible things happen and here I am. I'd like to ask you about it. And there's something about that is like fundamentally inhuman, like that I've never quite gotten right with. I was also doing that kind of dispassionate, inquisitive, like, you know, I was doing that with ayahuasca too. So I did have that question, and continually throughout that first ceremony, I felt like that question was being answered. And you'll never guess, but the answer was like, it's cool, you're doing great.
So, yeah, in that vein, how are you sort of like documenting this as you're also like fighting, you know, the cosmic forces that are trying to attack your brain?
You know, I had like the audio recorder on, like I was talking to people. I was taking notes. I was going to write a story about this. I wasn't secret about that. Like Carlos and Don Enrique and everybody knew I was going to write about this, but I had to get a release signed by Mother Ayahuasca. She signed it.
I don't know why it bothers me so much, but something about the personification of Mother Ayahuasca every time. And everyone I know who's tried it does that. They make it seem like very much like this external presence that they met to a certain degree. And I don't know why some part of my brain can't accept that, but it does seem like a very intrinsic part of like this drug experience, sort of meeting this being.
There are a couple things about ayahuasca that feel structural that also have, that share some of its DNA with DMT and what that experience is like. And those things almost make me believe in it more. DMT has always had this effect. People describe seeing kind of grids, like geometry, like deep geometry, like alien geometry. And they just look at it and they know that that's alien geometry. Ayahuasca, like high-level ayahuasqueros, like Don Enrique, dude, is all about aliens. It is alien geometry that is like, that at the top, that is like the sea org of ayahuasca. Ayahuasca feels like it brings a certain structure of conversation to you, and like that experience is somewhat uniform person to person.
So can you kind of just explain what Don Enrique is doing during this, how he is doctoring to everyone?
Really, the main form of this kind of telepathic communication or experience that happens is through a song.
Din sabe, din puedo ayudarme a cantar también, ¿no?
The song, it's called a Icaro. There's a number of different songs. It's like a sung chant in Shipibo language, and you ride that thing, man. You just like, he sings it, and you ride it somewhere, and you all do it together. You're all listening to it. So during this ceremony, Don Enrique is getting advice from animals, like jaguars, snakes. They all represent some plant. And they do rounds on you, you know, like in medical school, and like residents will do rounds. A gaggle of them will go patient by patient, and they'll talk about them in the third person as if they're not in the room, and come up with some sort of plan of care.
So what happened once you got home?
you know, it felt for a while like the medicine had kind of done its job. And you know, at that point, I was like at a real high point for like belief, you know, in this, because plant medicine, man, this is the thing.
On board.
I found something.
And then
I didn't write the story. That's the main thing. I was like, spent about a year thinking about this. The idea is always to like write about this on some level and get this down. And it just was in my head a lot. And I'm busy now running things at Roads and Kingdoms, and it's not happening as a story. This one morning I woke up and saw this like lump in my neck, and you know, I showed it to my wife, who I think had gotten over her, you know, complete confoundment at the fact that I'd gone down to the jungle and done a bunch of fake ass medicine, you know, from her point of view. As soon as she saw the lump, she's like, you know, that's not, that shouldn't be there. You need to get that checked out. The long story short, I discovered it was cancer. It had been there a while. My main question, which I'm sure just confused the hell out of them, is like, did I have this cancer 2 years ago? And they're like, why does that matter to you? And I didn't even get into it with them, but I was just like, just tell me if I had this. I'm just asking for a friend.
Right.
And they were like, yeah, you had that cancer. You know, the good news about the kind of cancer I had is it's such a poster child for Western medicine. You know, you cut it out and then you go through radiation and it works and you're done. And I'm done. I'm very happy to say I'm cancer free. I have one more surgery left, but like none of, you know, this is not like, it's not a fatal oversight on ayahuasca's part or anything like that. I feel like it's just the right amount of, you know, kind of fact check on ayahuasca.
My name is Carlos Tana, and I'm the program director for the Ayahuasca Foundation.
So I call Carlos to talk to him about this. I'm like, Carlos, I've got cancer. I had it when I was down there, and Mother Ayahuasca didn't tell me. She didn't say a peep about it. Carlos said, well, maybe you weren't ready.
Yeah.
Which is undefeated argument to this day. You know, from the curanderos and holistic faith healers and itinerant preachers of the world. If you're not ready for the message, then I guess you weren't going to get it.
Yeah. Did you feel betrayed at all, or were you just sort of like, I mean, I never expected that much of this?
Not at all. I would not be true to my own belief system if I was like 100% expecting that ayahuasca was actually going to diagnose something. And of course, you know, I get to sit here with, you know, the advantage of having gotten past cancer, so I get to be magnanimous about it. I'd always been looking in all of these experiences for the limits of what it could do and what I, you know, the limits of my own belief in it. And that was a real good hard stop limit. Like, you know, ayahuasca is this diagnostic, that's the main thing, is the diagnostic power of ayahuasca. Definitely pretty fucking sure this does not diagnose cancer.
You know, what do you think you actually gained from this experience? I mean, if it wasn't helping you in the diagnostic sense that they were promising, and you weren't expecting it to or holding it to that standard, that but you still seem to feel that you got a lot out of it, that you know, that you changed somehow. What do you think you were hoping to get out of it, and what did you actually get out of it that stayed with you?
I mean, Western medicine still has no fucking idea how to deal with, you know, the emotional part of people dealing with. I mean, you know, I saw a lot of death when I was in these ceremonies, and like as little as ayahuasca had helped the physical, it gave me a lot of tools to just deal with shit. Like in my mid-30s, had two super young kids, was definitely not expecting, or it wasn't like cancer time. And there's no hallucination that's weirder than like seeing a part of your own body that doesn't look the way that it's supposed to, you know, and to have that experience of realizing that you've got this thing, you know, in you that's trying to kill you. Like, that's some trippy shit. Ayahuasca at least had loosened my relationship with weird things. I mean, you know, I'd done this stuff when I was a kid, like when I, you know, in my early 20s. And then you go about the business of calcifying and having a family, having kids, like a career, all of this stuff. It's not usual that you go back to doing hallucinogens and then you like reopen a psychedelic, you know, mall in your mind. And I just happened to have done that. And I felt like that was exactly what I needed to have done, strangely enough. So maybe I was ready for it.
Yeah.
Take that, Carlos. I'm on ayahuasca right now.
I feel like I need to say, as a representative of Risen Kingdoms, that we're not encouraging people to go to the Amazon and do ayahuasca.
I overrule. We are totally encouraging.
Half of us are encouraging people to go to the Amazon and do ayahuasca.
I think it can be kind of amazing. Just give us a ring first. We'll tell you how to do it right. The Trip Season 1 is brought to you by Tiger Beer, distributed by Panoply. Original theme music from Dan the Automator. Additional music in this episode from Komiku and Frederick Lardon. Special thanks to Kara Parks for talking with me. The Trip is produced by the fearless Josie Holtzman. If you want to check out the original article that inspired this podcast, head to roadsandkingdoms.com. Next time on The Trip, we head to a crypt in Madagascar for the turning of the bones, lots of rum, and ruminations on death.